Welcome to Spark Your Fire podcast, sparking your interest in Australian property and finance. Now, here's your host, Jazz and David. But before that, let's listen to the quote of the week.
I want you to stop limiting your beliefs. Limiting your beliefs is stunting your growth. Limiting your beliefs is putting you at a halt for you to get to the next level.
Welcome to the show once again. Today, it's just me hosting it. This is my mess up. Sorry, David, if you're listening to this one. I totally forgot to send the invite for our guest to David, and David is a little bit busy, so he won't be able to join on short notice or no notice, to be honest, in this case. But without much delays, Andrew, welcome to the show once again, mate.
Good to be here, mate. I think it's been a long time since we last caught up again.
You are right. It's been probably almost a year, 9 months now, give or take.
I think the market's changed about 5 times since then. So.
Well, the funny thing is, before that, when we did it, the market was up in the air at the time as well,
yep.
Due to the election and all the other
Correct.
Stuff that was going
That's
on.
That's right. Yes, I remember now. Yeah.
And we were hoping 2020 to be a great year for the property market.
Yeah.
But then we saw something else happening, which is COVID. And now that we are looking at all the states to see what's going on as this COVID settles down a bit and things
yeah.
start to open again.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's a lot of grants that have come out lately as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to maybe start with what's the market doing currently?
Yeah, well, I think the market this year has been in three phases. January, February was really, really good. We were thinking, wow, this is going to be an absolute cracker of a year. Things were selling very quickly. They were selling for a lot higher than what they were even a few months ago. And then COVID hit. And that was your March, April. April was extremely slow. I think it was peak uncertainty in the market. Nothing was selling. Buyers were lowballing. We weren't even getting buyers at all. And that was, I think, the point where everyone thought, oh, this is going to be the end for a lot of people. And then obviously the government started making some stimulus packages, which I think has provided a much needed boost, not only to the economy, but to the real estate market as well. So since May, June, things have definitely picked up. We're seeing a lot of buyer activity. We actually have queues outside the front of a few of our properties, which is really, really positive. And that's not only because we've got restrictions of how many people we're allowed inside, but it's actually because we're having buyers come through and wanting to put offers on properties. And so we're finding our days on market around about that 14 to 21 days, which is really, really good. Rest of the market, you're probably looking at about 30 to 40 days on market in Berwick, which is still good. So the only difference I'm finding right now is that buyers probably aren't paying as much as they used to, even though there is activity. And we are starting to find a lot of banks becoming a lot stricter with their lending. So we're getting a few contracts that are being affected with subject to finance, and then those deals not going through because the banks haven't been granting the approvals, even if those buyers have had pre-approval in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, it's funny you said that just on the bank side. David and I were discussing this in the last podcast that we released, which was the news section, that one of his applications, David's client, got rejected because they withdrew a super from the super account.
That's interesting, yeah.
And which was a total mistake that they didn't understood exactly what the whether they're in that category where they can withdraw or not.
Yeah.
And the application basically got rejected just because of that one reason, whereas all the other things were lined up really nicely.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. What are you seeing on the price front? You just mentioned that we're not seeing, obviously there's a lot of negotiations going on, right? Is that impacting the prices a lot, putting a pressure on the prices, I mean, or is it starting to ease up now?
Prices, look, because I'm in the market every day, I see what's happening. If you were just a reasonable person standing on the street, you wouldn't see any impact on the market. If there was any deviation at all, you'd be looking at about that 1-2%. But we're not talking 10-20% as the media is predicting. And I think this sort of a bit of deja vu, because last year we were talking about this, about the market dropping and where it would drop, and the media was saying 20-30%, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And now they're saying it again. It's like they want to prove themselves that they're going to be right. But yeah, that's playing into a lot of buyers' minds. So we have buyers that are prepared to negotiate with the vendor, and you know, we get an agreement with both sides, and prices generally drop that 1-2%. But then we're also getting that pool of buyers too who are still waiting. So they're still waiting to see if the market is going to drop. They're a bit cautious, they're a bit uncertain. And that's a lot to do with what the media is feeding into to buy knowledge. And look, I mean, they control the story, but what I see on the market, if that's not to be the case at all.
Okay, how about the land? Is that selling quick? I know you were discussing just before the recording of some of the inquiries.
Mm. Well, land's an interesting one because we had a few blocks that were on the market listed during COVID. Barely any inquiry at all. And if there was inquiry, there'd be a lot of pushback, there'd be a lot of lowballing. As soon as the government announced that $25,000 grant, my phone literally exploded. And we sold the block for a little bit more than what the owner was expecting. So, I mean, a block and office that we had, literally I had that weekend that the grant was announced, I would say I had between 50 to 75 calls.
Right.
And the week before that, maybe one, if I was lucky. So that's how much the landscape has changed with regard to residential land. How long we'll go for, I don't know. Obviously, the government has set a limit on how many grants they're willing to provide. But yeah, land has just absolutely gone off.
Right. So that means there will be a fair bit of construction activity will start to see because of the land sales that are happening.
Yeah. And I think that was the purpose of the grant anyway. Yeah. So they've definitely achieved what they set out to do.
No, that's really good. How about the rental side, mate? Are you guys seeing any pressure on the rentals? I know you guys have got the rental book. Mm-hmm. Have you seen many negotiations happen on rent reductions due to COVID? And has it since then calmed down a bit, or there wasn't really much?
Look, I mean, I think going back to what I said 12 months ago, our principles of property management may be different to how other agencies adhere to their principles. We've always been of the understanding that if you get a good tenant from the outset, your risk of having issues later on is going to be offset. Now, obviously, no one knew COVID was going to happen. But with our rent roll, there's about 3% of tenants that are in rent arrears due to COVID. Compared to the rest of the market, I don't know what the exact number is, but speaking to other principals and other agencies, it's a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
So our ability to deal with the issue was dealt with way before COVID even came about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in addressing the matter of COVID, even if we're looking 1, 2, 3 years in advance, get a good property manager that's willing to put a good tenant into your property, and a tenant that's not gonna, I guess, encounter those issues if any of those challenges arise again. So with our rent roll, I can't comment much on how we've dealt with it because we haven't really had that many issues. Mm-hmm. Touch wood, we still won't. But the one or two issues that we've had, we've dealt with. We've had a couple of landlords who've transferred their files across because they couldn't get anywhere with their previous agency with regard to tenants. Within 14 days, those arrears were paid up straight away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as easy as saying, oh, it's COVID, I can't pay my rent, and that's the end of the matter. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of agencies have left the matter, is they've had a tenant call them, say it's been COVID, tell the landlord it's COVID, and then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot more than that. Obviously, our job as a property manager is to protect our landlord's investment.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, it comes down to providing proof that you are affected by COVID, and providing proof that if you are affected by COVID, then you don't have the ability to pay the rent.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds harsh, but I mean, you've got to deal with the facts. You can't let people get away with the situation, whether that's real estate or life or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do our job. Our landlords are paying us to do a job. And look, our tenants that we've spoken to that have potentially had these issues, they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a constructive conversation with them, and we've managed to deal with the issues. But in terms of rentals, I think the only thing that has really slowed down is listings.
Right.
So rental listings are down. Tenant activity is still high. Tenant activity has always been high.
Mm-hmm.
In the 10 years that I've done real estate in this area. So we've never had an issue with demand. It's just listings at the moment. So supply is very, very low.
Right. Okay. Sorry. Do you see, as the things start to clean out a bit, right, there will be a pressure on the increase in the rentals overall? Or do you see, which means there will be a little bit of inflation increase in rents, or do you see the rents to be remaining pretty stable over the next year or two?
Look, that's I don't think I can answer that question with any certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that, and this will apply to sales too, is I think we are living in a bit of a band-aid effect at the moment.
Yeah.
So everyone's getting JobKeeper, everyone's getting paid JobSeeker, businesses are getting grants from government, businesses are getting unsecured loans from banks. So there's an air of security at the moment. But once that dries up in September, I think we're going to start to see some movement. In sales, I think we're going to start to see people not have the ability to buy. We're mm-hmm. going to see people not have the ability to keep their homes mm-hmm. because they're falling behind on their mortgages. And we're going to see businesses fall behind, so which means potentially unemployment increasing. So I think spring onwards, there may be a bit of uncertainty in the market. And yes, if there is, it's going to put pressure not only on rentals, but on sales as well.
Yeah, so there's a lot reliant on this, what happens after September, which Correct. Is the JobKeeper, Seeker, and the mortgage suspensions, right?
Yeah.
You guys are spread out a fair bit in terms of the area coverage, right? Mm-hmm. I know you do look at other areas as well, right?
Yeah.
Do you know much of what the movement is in the areas closer to CBD? Because normally there's a domino effect that happens.
Correct.
Obviously, there's not that much activity happening in CBD due to COVID and work from home stuff, mm-hmm. right? How does that impact any of this?
Well, you're absolutely right. And this goes back to what I was saying last time I was here too, is that whatever happens in the city, the suburbs will feel it probably about 6 to 12 months later. So yes, there's not that much activity in the suburbs. Obviously, they're at a higher price bracket than your $600,000 to $700,000 homes around here. So be interested to see what happens. And I guess going back to my last point, whatever happens in the spring in the inner city suburbs will be a really, really good indication of what happens here probably at the start of next year.
Mm-hmm. So that's normally a good indicator to look at what's going on.
Absolutely, here, so. Absolutely. So the higher price points always suffer first.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the buyers who have formerly been in those price points will go to a lower price point,
mm-hmm.
Maybe you know the middle ring, so your Glen Irises, your Glen Waverleys, your Mount Waverleys, Mulgraves,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll flow out to your Berwicks, your Narries, your Pakenhams.
Yeah.
But that remains to be seen. I'm really interested actually to see what happens in September.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be good news, but I hope I'm wrong. Right?
Vacancy rates, what's happening with that?
I think that's still pretty stable because demand is still very high and supply is low. Things are leasing out very, very fast, provided you're priced right. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of properties out on the market now which aren't priced right, and they're just sitting there for months and months on end.
Yep.
And it's particularly more important now that you price your property right, because people are just going to go to other properties and rent them out. We're finding our vacancy rates, we don't have any properties on our books at the moment that are vacant. Everything's all leased out. So for us, it's zero, but for the rest of the market, I'm not quite sure. But yeah, I mean, the key determining factor for the rental market is always price. It's mm-hmm. always price. There's always going to be tenants wanting to rent a home.
Are you guys seeing tenants looking for properties trying to negotiate rents?
So rent bidding in Victoria is technically illegal. So we can't actually ask a tenant to increase their rent. Like, we can't say, oh, I've got another application. They're at $440 a week. How do you feel about paying $450 a week? We can't do that. If the tenant goes about their own way and suggests it, totally different story, mm-hmm. right? If they want, oh, we'll improve our application if we pay 3 months in advance, or if we pay this, totally different conversation. But we as the agent can't cause rent bidding, or we mm-hmm. can't cause people to negotiate certain conditions for them to increase their success of getting the application approved.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I have seen it on some occasions with certain houses, tenants suggesting that they're paying a certain number of rent in advance or paying a higher rent. But look, I mean, it happens here and there. It's not something that I would say is a big issue at the moment.
There's few economists who have come out lately with their predictions, like always, on the property market. Some have said of a drop of anywhere between 10 to 30%.
Yeah.
And they're well-known names.
Yeah.
And there are one or two who think that actually it will actually go up in value, somewhere between 5 to 15%, right?
Yeah.
Based on what's going on, I mean, you guys are on the ground dealing with this every day, right? Mm-hmm. And you already mentioned some of the houses you're seeing queues, not because of the COVID, mm-hmm. but just because there's demand right now.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, especially with the buyers who were on hold for this period for the last 2 months, watching what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any predictions on what will happen in the next couple of months? based on what you see?
No, I winged myself away from predictions a long, long time ago because I often found that they were wrong. And that goes to what we're listening to, you know, like you go back 24, 36, you know, pick a time, point in time, read the predictions that economists had then, most likely they were wrong. Nothing against economists, but I think with real estate, the saying always goes, you know, the market's the market. So if you're in the market to buy now, just buy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't predict, don't wait, because it can be an error.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the market to sell and you're ready to sell, sell. Just respect the market for what it is today rather than trying to predict what it'll be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to be wrong and you're probably going to regret it.
Mm-hmm. With the construction activity increasing, right, because of the grant, do you see it will impact the existing dwelling more than before?
I don't think so. And I only say that because I've worked in an area for 10 years where it's had both markets. You know, like Berwick has always had a builder's market. There's always been land in Berwick. There's always been land in Officer. There's always been land in Cranbourne North. So we've, as an agency that predominantly focuses on established homes, we've never really seen that, like we've never really seen competition in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
A buyer will either choose to buy a block of land and build,
mm-hmm.
or they'll choose to buy an established home.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's two separate markets there, and both markets are catering for them just equally as well. So we're never going to suffer because all of a sudden we've had this grant and you know, people are rushing to buy land,
mm-hmm.
who previously looked at established properties. So we're still selling, like last week, we're still selling properties.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't lost buyers because of the grant.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, I don't think the construction industry over the long term, maybe the short term or long term, will suffer because you know, there might be stamp duty concessions for established buyers,
mm-hmm.
generally speaking, which there was a couple of years ago for
mm-hmm.
first home buyers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the construction industry suffered. So,
mm-hmm.
So I would say no, at least in our market, there's quite a difference between the established market and the new market.
Yeah, generally the buyer set is very, very different for both the markets.
Correct.
The ones who are looking for new houses, they're just
mm-hmm.
going to go for new. It doesn't matter whether there is a grant or not. Obviously, grant does help.
It does
boost the economy overall.
Yeah.
The commercial space... Do you guys know much about what's cooking in that space?
No, nothing.
Yeah.
We're residential only, so I couldn't comment on that.
Anything else from a Melbourne market or Victoria market perspective that you think will add value for the listeners to know?
No, but I'd be interested to know, Jazz, in terms of finance, because we've actually had a few deals that have fallen over because subject to finance,
mm-hmm.
which we didn't get previously, and
mm-hmm.
obviously COVID has affected that.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say would be the 2 or 3 points for buyers, especially first-home buyers who are looking to go out and buy, to make sure that their finance is secure so that when they do fall in love with something, they can buy a house with confidence and know that, you know, their finance isn't going to have an issue.
Yeah, from a finance perspective, mate, this is something that we were actually discussing on the show the other day. Banks are really careful now. They are scanning the bank statements, really checking pretty much every single transaction of what's cooking on the bank statements, right?
This is how many times you've been at McDonald's and...
We touched on this before, like if you have withdrawn your super, that already impacts your loan capacity, right? For whatever reason, you were able to withdraw super within those parameters of the government that the government have provided. Banks are going to look at it in a way that it's a financial hardship,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the main reason of withdrawing the super, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have got transactions like Afterpay, the banks are asking all sorts of questions. This is real. This has happened 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The super thing that we are talking about happened 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Right. So banks are really hard on the bank statements.
Mm-hmm.
If you are planning to apply for a loan, one thing for sure is to clean up your bank statements. When I say
but
clean
up, how do you clean up if they pass transactions?
Well, clean up means that for the if you have got things like Afterpay, Zippay, or any of this stuff, it's best to close those accounts.
Mm.
And because bank will normally go for looking back for the transactions after 6 months, right? So if you have closed your Afterpay or Zippay account 6 months ago, bank's not going to care about that, right? But if the account is active, bank is going to ask for it. So if you are applying for a home loan, it's best to close these kind of accounts, or if there's any other loans that you have taken out, try and pay them off sooner rather than later. The other thing that they are looking at very carefully at the moment is the job industry that you're in and whether that is going to be impacted as a part of the COVID or not, right? Or if it has been. And if it has been or if it will be, then there's going to be a few questions around that too, right? Mm. There's a special application form now that you have to fill up that is just COVID related to confirm that your job is not impacted. This is again on that application that we did recently. There was extra form provided by the lender to confirm that due to COVID, none of the circumstances have changed and the industry that you're in is probably not going to be affected. And if it is, or if they think that it might get affected, then there's a chance there'll be more questions, and based on what the replies are, they'll come back and confirm whether whether the customer is still eligible or not.
Yeah.
Banks are getting harder and harder now due to this COVID environment.
Yeah. So what does pre-approval mean for a buyer in this market? I hear it all the time. Buyers say, oh, no, take my offer. I've got pre-approval. It's all secure. And then we find out that their finance fails at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Is pre-approval really just a bit of a cloak at the moment to give buyers that false sense of security?
All pre-approval does is really it speeds up the process and gives you a little bit of peace of mind that you don't have to arrange all the paperwork last minute within the 2 weeks of subject to finance, because you already have that pre-approval sitting in place. Mm. Like this client that we were talking about just before with the Afterpay transactions, we got his pre-approval done 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Right. The real estate buying a house, especially if you're doing it for the first time, is a very overwhelming process in itself, right? It's a big transaction you're doing, whether it's 500K or 700K, right? So all pre-approval is doing is taking some of that burden away by you arranging all your documents and getting them sorted in order and passing it to the lender and hoping that there's no surprises on your bank statements and all, because all that stuff still has to be done, right?
Yeah.
But pre-approval is never a guarantee or a certainty that you will get the home loan.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of the first things that happen after pre-approval, once you have signed the contract, is bank will do the valuation, right? And if the valuation numbers don't stack up, there you are. And that's why with auctions, you have to be even more careful, because auction is unconditional contract that you're signing.
Yeah.
I had another client which we did the finance for around January or February, I think, post start of this year. And he was buying the property on auction in St. Kilda or Windsor it was. And he had pre-approval in place. But there's still a risk, once you've signed the contract at the auction, that the bank can come back and say, you know what, based on the valuation, that the numbers don't stack up. 95% of the times you will get that amount, but it can change very quickly depending upon what the valuation results are post the contract signing, or what if there's any other thing that has happened in between in your personal situation.
Yeah. So bottom line, I mean, it's about getting a good broker, isn't it? If you have a good broker who has the right experience, they should be able to let you know, yes, you can go to auction or you can't go to auction, or just buy private sale.
Yeah. The difference between the broker and the bank is there's a couple of things, right? But if you go to the bank directly, you are just dealing with that bank, right? And the bank doesn't care whether you're buying it on auction or whether you're buying it in a private treaty, right? All you therefore is, I need this amount of loan. Can I get it or not? They're not going to guide you. They'll basically take your application and process it.
Yeah.
As simple as that, right?
Yeah.
Broker is not going to process your application until the broker is sure that you can get the loan, right?
Yeah.
And if the broker is in doubt, they are going to let you know that there is a chance that the loan can be rejected. And which means you can avoid the credit history checks on your credit file. That's one advantage, right? Secondly, broker has got, and this is the obvious one, is the panel of 40 lenders.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you go to a bank, you're just with that bank, right?
Yeah.
And again, it comes down to, in the past, it used to be that, people didn't know who the brokers were, but I think brokers are very easily accessible these days.
Yeah.
If you just need to find the right one based on your circumstances. And within broker, there's different categories. There's some that are more focused on the investing side. There's some that are more on the small businesses side, kind of thing. So it depends upon what kind of, what's your situation and who is the right broker for you.
Mm.
But the good thing is that broker will very carefully check all the things on your file and let you know whether what are the chances of the loan getting approved. In fact, this customer that we were talking about just before, he opened up his gym recently in this area, right? And the financials were not complete. So there was already a chance that we might not get the amount that we are looking for, right? But then at the same time, the other partner had enough income, and the accountant was happy to provide a letter to confirm that his earnings are, the gym is not dependent on his personal earnings that, that he's filing, right? So he was able to get his loan. So the, it's just broker can go through all those things in advance with a customer, whereas bank will just simply take your application process. It's either rejected or not rejected. And if it gets rejected, you just keep going on to the next bank after bank after bank, right? And the broker normally knows what bank specializes in what things, right? Some banks are good at lending it to small businesses. Others are really good with PAYG, like CBA is well known for PAYG, right? Some banks are really good with construction loans, like Latrobe, right? Some are really good with, if you don't have full docs, likes of Pepper and Liberty. So broker can, broker just knows all that stuff. So they already know which bank you normally fit in, what bank category, and they'll process the application accordingly. Whereas you just walk into the bank, it's just a bank. It's again like real estate kind of thing, right? So some real estate specializes in some areas, right? You can just go to the online platform these days and maybe list your property there, but that's not going to tell you anything. Whereas the real estate agent is going to go through the whole hassle and effort of finding what the right price is is for your property, and whether it's the right market to sell it. Right? That's, and that's probably the more important thing in the current environment than anything else, right? Why would you just want to go to online platform that is not even giving you much information? But the agent will sit down with you and work out the whole strategy on, if this doesn't work out, then we can try this. Auction, private treaties, especially in the COVID environment where there was some restrictions around how easily you can access the property and all that stuff. So it always comes down to the right people. It's a team. You know that, right? Right. So, but that... no one's ever asked us the broker questions before. You're the first one too. But now that's really good, mate. Anything else in Victoria market that you think?
I think
what about the investors? Are you seeing many investors?
We are seeing a few investors come out. Not many, but they're coming out. They were sort of in hiding last year. But they're coming out now. Maybe they can sense a bargain or.
Because I speak to a lot of investors, and this podcast is focused to some extent on investors, right? And from what I understand is that investors are shying away from the market. Opportunistic investors will obviously come out and make the purchase where they see if the property is a decent bargain at 30, 40, 20%, which is not always, or majority of the times is not the case. But in general, the investors, I feel, are a little bit... missing in the market.
Maybe. I don't know. I always come back to the market being the market. I don't think there's any, especially for real estate, there's never really any opportune time to buy, you know? You're always going to be spending at least $500,000 to buy a home. I mean, it's a pretty big gamble if you're thinking that real estate's a gamble that, or if you buy in this market as opposed to another market, you're going to make a lot more money in the future. I don't think it works like that. I think maybe shares or interest or whatever might be different. But I've never seen real estate as an opportunistic investment, as in something that you can make tons and tons of money out in a short period of time. It's a slow burn. And yes, you can pick good investments and there are bad investments. But if you're ready to buy in any market as an investor, then you just go out, because there's always going to be a good, decent opportunity for you to buy in any market. So whether it's COVID or hot market or slow market or decent market, I think if you're ready to buy. If you're ready to sell, then sell.
That's some wise words of wisdom from Andrew. Andrew, look, always appreciate your time. Of course, thanks for coming on the show. It's been a while we had you on the show, and lots obviously happened again. And I'm sure when you come back next time, there will be
the market's probably going to be like blazing hot, like things are selling in a day.
I hope so. Then you can come and maybe list my house.
I'll hold you to that. That is recorded now. This is the 15th of June.
Really appreciate your time. Oh, actually, I do have one more question. Aliens, believe it or not.
Look, I think if we were the only sort of species out there, or if planet Earth was the only species out there, I think that's just a phenomenon, isn't it? I think with the universe being as big as it is, I think I would give it the benefit of the doubt that there is still something out there, whether we'll ever see in our lifetimes or not, but there's still something cooking away out there.
And do you think they're equally obsessed about the property like we are?
Well, now we're getting into philosophical conversations here. It could be a bacterial thing. That's life, right? It could be more complex life than us. I don't know. Probably not. But I'd be interested. I mean, they're obviously conversations that I like to bring up every now and then.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to be like a metaphorical fly on the wall at another planet if there was life somewhere to see what it's like. Because it's just mind-blowing. Like, everything that just happens here, we're just a small dot.
Yeah.
You know, in this whole big universe.
Well, so you are a believer like me, right?
I'm a believer.
I've got the same reasons, kind of. And do you think they are smarter than us if they are there? And they're watching us?
Jesus. That's a deep question. Jess, I don't know. I'd like to think that there are smarter species out there. I mean, you look at this year alone, we've done some pretty terrible things. I'd like to think there's a species out there that is more similar to a utopia than we have here. But yeah, that's yet to be known.
I appreciate your time, mate, listeners. Hope you guys enjoyed the content, and we will bring Henry back at some point to give us an update again on the market. Cheers.
Thanks.
If you have any questions or feedback about today's episode, you can reach out to us through sparkyourfirepodcast@gmail.com. That's sparkyourfirepodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Also, the content discussed in this episode is general in nature. Please seek specific advice from qualified professionals in regards to your personal situation.